Good morning. Glad that you could join us for our Sanctuary Church worship. Sanctuary is located in Batavia, Illinois, on Winmouth Road. We're going to get started with some worship.
And I bury no more.
sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. All creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Rainbows of living color, flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder, blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, was and is to come. All creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Thank you. mountain is so far away. And I will rest in your arms, Jesus, my Lord. You will see me through. Cover me with your sweetness. Cover me with your grace. You cover me with your mercy, Jesus. You cover me.
Shall be no more death, neither sorrow, crying, no more pain, and all the former things are passed away. Jesus is our blessed hope. I can only imagine what it'd be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. What will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? Or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. wanted to encourage you with that verse from Revelation 21:4 that I said earlier. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Can you imagine a day that there will be no more tears? And can you imagine a day there'll be no more sorrow, no more pain? That is just beyond what our minds can conceive. And I just want to encourage you that Jesus is our blessed hope. He is our ticket out of here. He is. He is the only way. So be encouraged. I have a couple of announcements I'd like to make. If you've been on the church Facebook page, which you are now, if you look at some of the events coming up, we have on Monday night, we have a teaching by Hart Gately, which is called Trusting God. And so the Zoom information and the invitation is on the banner if you look. So everyone is invited. Tell your friends, your family, or anyone who wants to attend this class on Monday night. There is a limit on participants, and it sounds like, well, there won't be 100 there, but there could be. So be there on time. Maybe be in the lobby a little bit early to be admitted into the class. We also have a great sort of like a webinar or a, I call it a Zoomifier. a week from yesterday, it'll be this Saturday. If you look on the banners at our Facebook page, it says prayer. So Kathy will be teaching on prayer, and I know that she's been studying for months now, because she's preparing this lesson for an event that we were going to have at our church. So this will be it. So guys, ladies, you all are invited to this event. So now I'd just like to say goodbye, and I'm going to go take a seat in the family room, and I'm going to watch some preaching. So stay tuned for Pastor Kirk. Love you all.
Good morning, church. Glad to be together with you again this morning. Before we get started, I just want to share something with you this morning. Couple of things, actually. I saw something posted online that really grabbed me the other day. It was done in a cartoon form, but the message was very loud and clear. It was a picture of Satan and a picture of God. And Satan looked over at God and said, "I just closed all of your churches. What are you going to do now?" God just turned and looked back at him and said, "On the contrary, I just opened one in every home." And that just really grabbed me this week. And we had a Zoom meeting with some of our men earlier this week, and one of the men also made a comment about, you know, the Holy Spirit is active everywhere all the time. And instead of waiting for the Holy Spirit to show up in our churches, now the Holy Spirit shows up in our homes. What an incredible blessing that is. Join with me as we start with a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you so much. Oh, for that incredible gift, that incredible blessing, Father God. Indeed, our homes have been turned into sanctuaries. Our homes have become a place of praise and worship and adoration as they should be. Lord, I thank you for the power and the gift and the presence of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that you would not only see us through this whole virus and pandemic, but I pray, Lord, that you would see us through each and every moment of each and every day. Lord, that we would bring you honor and glory, that you would give us strength and victory, and that we would worship you at all times. In Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago was Palm Sunday, and on that day, that Palm Sunday, we talked about that glorious day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem on the back of that donkey, the triumphal entry, as we call it. We talked about several of the different events surrounding that time. But we also mentioned that at that time, when Jesus rode into the city, he had a bit of a strange reaction. The crowd was praising him and worshiping him and honoring him. But the word tells us that he rode into that city and wept for that city. Let me read the text to you this morning. Luke 19:41 and 42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." What is it that Jesus was weeping about? Honestly, there are several things we could look at or talk about, because no matter which direction you look, no matter what perspective you had, there was reason for his sorrow. If he looked back, he saw a nation that wasted its precious time with their Messiah, who was present with them, walking with them. So many wasted opportunities because they did not believe that Jesus was the one written about in the law. If he were to look around him, he saw a great deal of religious activity that accomplished nothing. Leaders who were arrogant, and even a sacred temple that had become a den of robbers. If he looked ahead, he saw terrible judgment. Of course, he saw the coming destruction of that temple, which would take place in AD 70. But more importantly, he saw the judgment of people because of their unbelieving hearts. But perhaps most of all, he wept when he looked within. See, within man's hearts, all he saw was unbelief, sinfulness. That's what he saw when he looked at the heart of man. The hearts and the minds of his chosen people were hardened and blind. All the information that they had, and yet they were spiritually ignorant. You know, more than anyone else, they should have known who their Messiah was. They should have recognized him and understood why he came. But they didn't understand. Didn't understand who he was or what he was there to offer them. But not only does that scripture we just read talk about Jesus weeping for his people, it gives us another little bit of insight as we read it. That second verse, let me reread it again for you this morning. Verse 42. If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. What is this peace that Jesus was talking about? And what is it that would bring that peace? You know, on the surface, there seems like there could be several right answers to that particular question. If you were to open up your dictionary this morning and look at Webster, you would find that peace talks about a time without war, or a period when war has just ended. You might also find a definition that says something about freedom from disturbance. What exactly does that mean? What disturbs you or what disturbs me may not disturb the next person. What you find is peaceful and what I find is peaceful, others may not. So in one sense, this idea of peace can be a very subjective. But that's not what Jesus was referring to. He was not talking about man's idea of peace. He had something much more specific in mind. In fact, we get a little bit more understanding of what he had in mind if we take a look at the Gospel of John. Jesus spent much time during that Holy Week, as we have called it, with his disciples. And he did a lot of teaching during that Holy Week. He predicted his betrayal before Judas made his decision. Jesus said he knew that that was going to happen. He talked about the disciples' denial of him, not just Peter's, but all of them, how they would be scattered and deny him. He also offered them words of hope and encouragement. He even spoke about the promise of the Holy Spirit to be poured out upon them. And in chapter 14 of John, Jesus tells his disciples that he is going to go away. But he tells them something else. He offers them some words of comfort and encouragement when he says this in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Jesus offered them a very specific peace here. He offered them his peace. He said, I leave you peace. My peace I give you. He goes on to say that his peace is different than any peace that the world tries to give to you. And it's because of his peace that your hearts should not be troubled. So prior to his crucifixion, Jesus talked to his disciples about receiving peace. If we look just a few chapters later, also in the Gospel of John, we read some of the first words that Jesus spoke to his disciples after his resurrection. John chapter 20, verses 19 through 21, says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. A couple of things we need to notice about this right away. First of all, we need to notice that at the end of that peace be with you statement, both of them that were in that text, there's an exclamation point. He did not show up in that locked room and go, yeah, peace, I hope you guys are having a good day. No, he was very excited and exclaimed, peace be with you. But notice something else he was saying here. What he was saying is, I, peace, am here with you. He himself is that peace. And he is there among them. When Jesus spoke of that peace with them, he was talking about himself. He was talking about he being present with them at that moment. The peace that he's talking about is not an emotion or a thought. It's not even a temporary happy place of being, as we might think about. True peace is something that we can only have, something that can only be obtained through a right relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. I think we need to take a little bit closer look at this word, peace. See, part of our struggle in understanding peace lies in the fact that we don't really understand the meaning behind that word. Peace is the word that we use in our English language. It's the word that we have adopted for many things. But in order to understand the biblical context of peace, we need to take a look at the Hebrew word from where we get this word peace. Now, this Hebrew word, believe it or not, may be familiar with us as well. We have probably heard this word, but we need to understand the true definition of this word. The word that we translate in our English language as peace is the word shalom. Now, some of us know shalom as a greeting or a salutation that's used. Some of us know that it can also be used as departing words at the end of a conversation or a gathering. But the meaning behind this, meaning behind shalom, is much different than that simple word peace that we think of. In the Old Testament, shalom, or that peace, spoke of completeness, soundness, and well-being of the total person. In the New Testament, not only did we see those same attributes of peace, but to that we can add the inner tranquility and poise to those who trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. The peace that Jesus spoke of was a combination of hope and trust and quietness in mind and in soul. And all of that comes from the reconciliation we have with God through Jesus, the Messiah, our Savior. The very peace that we talk about now, the very peace that was talked about in Scripture, is the same peace that was proclaimed by the angels to the shepherds when they spoke to them about Jesus' birth. Luke 2:14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. If you'll allow me this morning, let me substitute just a couple of words in that section of Scripture where it said, peace to men. What if we phrased it this way? And on earth, completeness, soundness, wholeness, inner tranquility, and hope on whom his favor rests. When we understand the deeper, more complete meaning of shalom, or peace, we can see things from a little bit different perspective. Let's go back to the text we just read in John. As Jesus spoke words of reassurance to his disciples just before he was crucified. I'll read it again, John 14:27. Peace I leave you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. He was teaching his disciples that he is peace, that he is that completeness and wholeness that they need to rest on, that needs to be their reassurance and their joy. He was telling them that it would not fade or be revoked. It does not come and go as worldly peace does. And he confirmed that when he appeared to them in that locked upper room after his resurrection. He said, here I am, your completeness, your peace, just as I told you I would be. In me is all hope and comfort for your heart and soul. In me you need to trust. True peace was announced at Jesus' birth. Jesus spoke to his disciples about that peace just before his crucifixion, and he confirmed that peace after his resurrection. He confirmed that wholeness, that completeness, that inner quietness of mind and heart and soul. There's another aspect of peace for us to think about as well today. For the believer in Jesus Christ, that peace, that wholeness, that inner tranquility and hope that we have been talking about is not something we only experience when things are going perfectly or in our opinion of things going perfectly. See, our surroundings, our physical situations have absolutely nothing to do with peace. That is a concept that is totally opposite of how the world thinks or how they view peace. According to man, peace comes when there are no fights or disagreements. Peace comes when the sun is shining and the temperature is comfortable and the weather beautiful. Peace comes when the birds are singing and everything is calm. Well, now, while that sounds all wonderful and good, what happens when those things are not present in our lives? Does peace flee from us? Does it become completely chaotic? The answer is no. Not if we're standing in the true peace given to us by God through Jesus. This peace, this God-given peace, is what allowed the Israelites to pause at Gilgal just before conquering the promised land. They paused and they allowed, by God's instruction, they allowed Joshua to circumcise all the males and to celebrate the Passover. Think about this for a minute. They have just crossed the Jordan. They've entered into the land that they're going to be given, but it's a land right now filled with their enemies. Yes, it's their promised land, but they have not possessed it yet. The enemy is still dwelling there. They are in this land about to engage in war, about to take up a battle. And yet they were calm and peaceful because God was with them. That's what enabled them to pause for a moment, go through that that ordeal of circumcision and celebrate the Passover. I mean, that would hardly seem the right thing to do in our minds as you entered the enemy's land. But because of that peace, because that shalom had covered them, that soundness, that trust that only comes from God, it allowed them to take that moment to pause. It allows us to walk through difficult times without being overcome with fear or grief or regret. When we realize what peace, what shalom means, there are many scriptures that take on new meaning to us. Like when Jesus healed the woman who was subject to bleeding for years. We're not going to go through this story this morning. You know this account. You know what took place. But Jesus said this to her when she was healed in Mark 5:34. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from suffering. Go in the wholeness. Go in the completeness you have found in me, is essentially what Jesus was saying to her. And this reference to freedom from suffering was not just about her physical issue. But understand this, her uncleanliness meant that she was a complete and total outcast. She suffered shame. She was shunned by her family. She was shunned by her community. No one would associate with her. She was not allowed to go and to worship. She was completely cast aside. But now, because of Jesus, because of what he did, now she would know wholeness and completeness and hope all through Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Wholeness, the Prince of Completeness. No part of her life would ever be the same again because of the peace that God had given her. Let's go back this morning to the scripture that we first read when we started, Luke chapter 19, verse 41 and 42. As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes." If only God's chosen people would have known what would complete them. If only God's people would have known what would brought them wholeness, inner peace and quiet and stillness to their hearts. If only they would known on that day what would have given them the hope that they so desperately wanted. Jesus wept because his own rejected him, rejecting the very peace that they had longed for. We are living right now in a very unsettled world. We are living at a time completely unfamiliar to most, if not all, of us. Oh, there's been wars and plagues and problems in our history, in our nation, in our world, in our lives. But this pandemic here and now seems to be affecting many of us more than anything ever in our history. It seems to be a bigger deal than any of those past issues have been. We don't like this new normal, as many people have been calling it. In fact, the things that wearied us before, we actually are longing to go do again. We are so ready for this storm to pass and for there to be peace again. But I ask you, are we looking for the right type of peace? Is our trust and hope centered on this situation that is at hand? Or can we draw on the strength and hope? Can we draw on the shalom, the completeness that God gives us, and remain in his wholeness even in the midst of the storm? There's one other scripture or set of scripture I want to share with you this morning, and it's regarding a storm that the disciples went through. Because I think, much like the disciples experienced the storm on the night we're going to read about, we are in the midst of a storm. And we need to learn to get through that storm. The disciples experienced their storm on a boat in the middle of the sea, when the wind and rain was just raging around them. And all the while they panicked and were gripped with fear, Jesus slept in the boat with them. That fear and that panic in the disciples overwhelmed them. And they chose to wake up Jesus and talk to him about this storm. And when they woke him, they said this to him, Mark 4:38, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" What did Jesus do? He woke up, he stood up, and he said three simple words. "Peace, be still." And then he asked his disciples a question. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" Maybe today, in the midst of our storm, he would say something to us as well. Maybe today he would say to us, "Do you still not understand my peace?" The physical situation of our lives has nothing to do with having peace in Jesus. Peace, wholeness, completeness, hope, and trust. They all fill our hearts and minds, and they give us that inner stillness, that inner tranquility, that inner calm, all because we have placed our faith in Jesus Christ. So even though things around us are still uncertain and up in the air and chaotic to some degree, our hearts and our minds can be at peace. We can have, we should stand on that wholeness that we have received when we accepted the Prince of Peace into our hearts and our lives. Father, I come before you this morning and I thank you and I praise you for the peace that you have provided for us. Lord, maybe for too long we've not truly understood what it means to have peace in our lives, and I pray today, Lord, that that would be changed in our hearts and in our minds forever. That we would not rely on physical circumstances or situations, that we would not rely on what the world has to offer or the condition that the world is in, but we would trust in you for that true and complete peace and wholeness to fill our hearts and lives. Lord, that we would not live in fear or panic or discouragement, but again, trust in, rely upon, stand firm on that peace that you have given us and provided for us. Father, I thank you today that our attitudes, our thoughts, our minds, our hearts can be at rest, and we can experience the peace that you have given us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, and have an incredible week in Jesus' name.